Let me just touch upon the Schofield Bible.
The Schofield Study Bible basically calls for the support of Israel in the Middle East, and it is a document that actually seeks to and calls for war. Cyrus Schofield was basically a criminal. And Cyrus Schofield went on from there to follow a life of what virtually was crime. Schofield was eventually caught, convicted, and sent to the state prison. Upon being released, Schofield took up a new profession, preaching the gospel. He wrote what turned out to be the Schofield Reference Bible that was published in 1908.
What I understood from my research and talking to some Christians is that you had this person, and I just really think this is so important, this Schofield, he was a con man. He went to jail, and then he ended up, there was a John Nelson Darby who now he was taking the teachings from this John Nelson Darby.
A Darbyism, which in effect called for a Armageddon, the same Armageddon. The Armageddon where there would be a terrible war in Israel. And he became a follower of John Nelson Darby, and he essentially plagiarized, I suppose, or borrowed much of what Darby had said, and this was what went into the footnotes of the study Bible that became known as the Schofield Study Bible.
And then from there, he ended up getting funded, and then he got this funding, and he ended up getting a DD. They got the UK printing press to print out like 1 million of these Schofield reference Bibles. And
Oxford Press would not touch a Bible. It would not touch a religious book. But it did publish Cyrus Schofield's reference Bible off of his yellow notepads. Now, it should be most clear to most people that somehow Schofield had to have an introduction. He could not have simply found his way into Oxford Press, nor could he have found his way through this.
In the exegesis, you have certain verses. You'll hear politicians and many, they'll say, whoever blesses thee is blessed, whoever curses thee is cursed. So they would connect these to the state, Israel. And this is where the programming happened in colleges, universities, and that. And now, is it true that many Christians, peace-loving Christians, they feel it's a part of their creed now to support this, what's happening? But now you have another group of Christians like yourself and others that are they're saying, hold on, this is false. This is actually not true.
Recent 1948.
Okay.
May 14th, 1948.
Is this correct now? And then this is what Tucker was talking about with this guest here. Are people looking into this dispensationalism and all
that? I mean,
it's not really part of the teachings, the core teachings of Christianity.
Yeah, for sure. There's a huge shift in the Overton window. There's no question about that. There's a lot of conversation that's happening online that would not have happened prior to October 7th. Okay. And I will just say that, you know, I mean, look, I went down to Austin, Texas. I sat down with Alex Jones and he asked me, well, what do you think is going on? And I told him,
what's happening in Gaza, one of the most densely populated areas where 50% of the population is under the age of 15, 75% is under the age of 25. And you have members of Congress demanding that we go blow up apartment buildings and nuke these people off the face of the planet. What is the benchmark for success in Gaza?
Here's what I think is happening. And he got very visibly upset. He didn't want to talk about it. I don't know if that's because he made a deal. I don't know if he has certain sponsors that he doesn't want to lose. I don't know.
Alex Jones. Yeah.
And he was very, very upset. And I said, well, look, I mean, I'm just here to tell you the truth. You asked me a question. I'm here to give. And I look back at that interview today, and there's been a lot of learning that has happened for me since that day. I said a lot of things there that I would say even more as a matter of fact today than I did then, because I had a certain understanding of this. It's like when you see it, you can't unsee it, and I'm seeing new things every day. And so I can't rewind what I knew, you know, when I went there.
Yeah.
But I would be a lot more adamant and a lot more clear and a lot more specific about where all this is coming from had I known what I know now then. As a matter of fact, if you look back 4 years and you just take a history of my monologues, you can watch being on this program, talking to experts and researchers and doctors and through COVID, right? I basically became a de facto pseudo doctor, and so did my whole audience. You can watch the real-time learning and red-pilling and educational process happening with me. And then I'm just relaying that to the audience, and I'm showing them and I'm encouraging them, do your own research. Don't believe everything I say. Now, as far as it relates to this, you know, whole idea of the Schofield Bible and this nation state, of Israel. And, you know, if you bless these, these shall be blessed and cursed and et cetera. That is part of what I was talking about originally, which is identifying a large group of people. Obviously, the Muslim faith is the largest, and then Christians. 2.4, I think, billion worldwide would say that they identify as a Christian. So it's a very large swath of people. And so the way to attack them is through this psychological deprogramming and reprogramming and this operation where you compare something biblical, a word in the Bible, to something that you then form in real life. A arbitrary set of borders plopped in the Middle East on May 14th, 1948, with the declaration, this is what we're going to call this. Well, who then can question it or, God forbid, criticize it? Because now you have the Scofield Bible indoctrinating teachers, these pastors from the pulpit, shaming you and telling you, no, you can't talk like that about this land, about this place, or about these people, because they are chosen, and this is the place of the Bible that God and Jesus were talking about. When in fact, it just absolutely cannot be. It just doesn't even make sense. But the lack of cognitive, independent, critical thinking is then replaced by social norms and acceptance, particularly as it comes to something that someone feels may impact their connection to Jesus Christ or their shot at eternal life in heaven. Nobody wants to risk sacrificing that. You know, the more I read the Bible, the more I know I don't want to go to hell. And so I can empathize with a lot of people feeling like that. But this is the same group largely. I would say that it is, you know, people my age and younger who are really shifting the Overton window, really having the conversation, really want to know the truth, and really are digging and researching on their own and learning these things and then having the conversation, exposing a lot of things. But I think that the people who have their ears plugged and their eyes closed and they don't want to hear this are the same group of people, and there's going to be a lot of people that are upset in the audience about this, that have led us into this situation by apathy and complacency, and that's the boomer class, the boomer generation. Boomers largely don't want to hear this. They don't want to offend people. They don't want to step on somebody's toes. They don't want to go astray from whatever their pastor is teaching them. They don't want to have these conversations with their neighbors. Even though they may question this in their own home, they're never going to go in public. And as a matter of fact, if you're with your boomer mom or your fat Uncle Stan or Aunt Betty, and you're in public and you have one of these conversations, you'll get, don't talk like that. And that is a win for an enemy that wants to suppress your speech and to control your mind and to control your actions under the threat of being placed in a digital or virtual or financial or even physical prison camp, because it's happening already. CBDCs are coming, digital ID is coming, social credit score, it's all here already. All of the infrastructure is in place, the blockchain, it's all there. If you say something that is socially unacceptable, and by socially unacceptable, I mean if it goes against the official Orthodox narrative by the people who have put the narrative in place that want to place you in these prisons and control the masses, and they admit, they all admit this. Don't believe me. You can go and look at Bill Gates. You can look at some of these TED Talks. You can listen to, you know, Yuval Noah Harari. You can listen to what Klaus Schwab is saying and some of these people at the World Economic Forum and the World Health Organization. And even a lot of these so-called actors in Hollywood will tell you, this is the goal. This is what we want to do. Whatever you want to call it, whether it's Agenda 2030 or New World Order, read the book Behold the Pale Horse, The Great Reset, the Fourth Industrial Revolution, whatever you want to call it, give it whatever fancy name you want. What it means is when they tell you you'll live in a pod, you'll eat bugs, you'll own nothing, and you'll be happy, why don't we just believe them? And then they use this method of control to imprison mentally the largest group of people, which is Christians, largely. As I said, I preface that by saying, obviously, Islam has a whole lot more subscribers to that faith as far as actual bodies and people are concerned. But I think that there's a lot to be said for control of the West, you know, and this is an occupation that isn't just in our government here in the United States. It's not just NGOs and unelected bureaucrats. It's not just the Department of Education. It's not really even just our society. It is the entire West where this octopus has reached its tentacles out and gripped what I refer to as a demonic grip around Christendom and around the West and around humanity as a whole.
Recently, you had the one of the highest courts, I believe, is the ICC, and it put out a warrant for the head of state in this country that's committing this modern day Holocaust genocide. I want to get your reaction to this clip where you have the PBD discussing this, the very well known podcast with Patrick and David, and get your feedback on this.
Yeah. So one guy that you say, we're going to pull him over for speeding because, you know, he's done some things and these are war crimes. Some civilians have died. These are war crimes. The one guy the ICC wants to pull over is Netanyahu. Shouldn't there be a long list of other people from Iran and Syria and some other locations? Really? The one guy you want to pull over? And then the UK says, we'll back it up, but you got to remember who's speaking and who the UK is.
Your response, what do you think?
Well, I don't know what he means by you have to remember who the UK is. I'm assuming that he means that there have been a lot of Muslims that have migrated to London. Mm-hmm. You know, what I would say is this. There's this narrative that this nation state was somehow against their will forced into this, which when you look at the facts is just completely contrary to what the truth is. And this war is a proxy war. I'm trying to be as careful as I can here because I know that you have a YouTube audience and I know what happened to me on that channel and on that platform.
Thank you.
I'm trying to be as careful as I can here. And but I will just say this, is that the official Orthodox narrative about what happened on October 7th can be debunked very easily. And a lot of it has been. And there have been a lot of videos that prove that the message of this nation state is contrary to the truth. It can also be proven that there are war crimes that have taken place, and it can be proven because the state actually posts these war crimes and activities on their official government channels on X. And we are watching that effect be to the detriment sometimes of the lives of young children and innocent people and women who don't have anything to do with this so-called terrorist organization that, by the way, they funded and created. Okay, so a lot of people don't know that. And, you know, this terror network was created by this nation state, much similar to ISIS, which was, you know, a creation of the U.S. military intel apparatus and funded by the taxpayer. And so my reaction to this is it's incredible to watch people tiptoe around this leader and this nation state. If this were any other faith, if this were any other country, if this were any other leader anywhere that was carrying this activity out, they would already be, if we lived in a serious world, they would already be before a court. They would already be in custody. They would already be facing, upon conviction, extreme accountability. And so it's really amazing to watch as people like Patrick Bet David with platforms of that size just come completely occupied and overtaken and, you know, it's been compromised. He has been compromised.
Here's some of the, if you look at some of the comments, it's very interesting here. You go and see these guys, sometimes they're right and reasonable. And sometimes they're just clowns. Another one, this episode is full of BS by PBD. And I personally know Patrick. I visited there. He seemed, he was a very nice man, and we had a great time together. But I relate to some of these comments because he's got a lot of good things that he talks about. When it comes down to this, it seems like these comments are right on. If you just look at some of these.
Yeah. That's I would say that a lot of that is very accurate. There's another very accurate comment. Yes. I mean, look at this. I mean, you have to give a lot of credit to the viewers who are picking up on this and they're seeing this. I mean, it's right out in front of your eyes. So anybody who denies this and puts the scales over their eyes or allows them to remain is really doing themselves a disservice because they're not being honest with themselves. They're not being honest with the people around them. And if you're not being honest and you know what the truth is, well, that's a lie and that's a sin. Mm-hmm. And so you're really not following biblical principles and you are not honoring your relationship with Jesus Christ or the commandments set forth by God. And that's a really dangerous place to be, especially from these faith leaders who stand behind pulpits every Sunday or in some other denominations, other days of the week, but stand before a flock of people who they are knowingly leading to the lake of fire. And the judgment for those people is going to be so much more significant than that of the members of the flock that they are misleading to their detriment and to their own graves eternally.